ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Millions in gold. Dozens of people who claim it's theirs, and the one man who may know where it's hidden is refusing to talk. A years-long jail sentence hasn't been enough for him to reveal the location of the treasure that was already found once. Will the loot, or its finder, ever see the light of day? This month's minisode is Tommy Thompson, Fugitive Treasure Hunter.
Heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday. It's actually not a Freaky Friday. It is Friday, September 27th, and we are taking this Friday off, but we're bringing you a very fascinating story from our Minnesota archives on Tommy Thompson, Fugitive Treasure Hunter. This was originally a November 2023 minisode, and a quick update, his status has not changed without any spoilers, but you may be familiar with this story from the new National Geographic docuseries that was released in August of 2024 titled Cursed Gold, A Shipwreck Scandal, that tells the true story of this maverick scientist and his resourceful team who stunned the world in 1989 by recovering 3 tons of gold from the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean from the famous 1857 shipwreck, the SS Central America. You'll hear all about that in the minisode. More interestingly, you'll hear what happened to him and what happened to the gold after they dug it all up. So we hope you enjoy this November 2023 minisode, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend. Until then, keep it creepy. I love when we stumble on a topic, and that's exactly what this is rest in peace, Tommy Thompson, the World War II veteran who died aboard the USS Battleship North Carolina, who you were Googling, and then this name of this guy came up, and you were like, this is a weird case.
Yeah, I saw this and thought, well, I don't understand the legal ramifications around this. Like, it's fascinating that there could be treasure at the bottom of the sea, 8,000 miles underneath the ocean, and somehow it's not just up for grabs to anybody. Because, like, I feel at some point, if you haven't gone down there and figured out how to get it yourself, then it's up for grabs.
There's a law that's finders, keepers, losers, weepers. I think it's it might be 8,000 feet because 8,000 miles sounds extra far, but it doesn't matter however deep
maybe
it is.
Maybe it's 8,000 feet.
However deep it is.
5,280 feet is a mile, so that would be over like 12 miles.
Yeah. Although we know that it goes down that far because that's where the bases are. They're hidden down there.
I think it goes much further than that.
Way further.
Don't have my phone, so I can't ask Siri. If only I was sitting in front of a computer where I could Google something.
The only thing I can remember is that the Mariana Trench, isn't that 35,000? Is it 35,000 feet down?
Let's Google. How deep is the Mariana Trench? 36,200 feet.
And the deepest part is about 7 miles deep. So it is down there. Even 8,000 feet is too far for somebody. If you dropped your shit in 1857, it was gone. Even with submarines, yeah. they could go like 100 feet. They were like, any further than that, it's so sorry.
So it's over a mile under the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
Like quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, and it's only been just recently that we sometimes can get pretty far down there. So in the last, you know, couple of decades or so. So to think that there's just some gold from hundreds of years ago just waiting for a submersible to find it makes you want to go down there.
I'm good. You know what? I think it's the mystery of the sea, which I'm going to allow it to be a mystery. I imagine, though, that there's isn't an anomaly as far as there's hundreds of ships that have wrecked, if not thousands, over the, you know, who knows what all's down there just waiting to be discovered. And something I hadn't really considered, because I'm not a brilliant scientist like Tommy Thompson, when he was looking at, okay, well, where is the type of ship that we want to find? The ones in more shallow waters, he was like, these are already going to be pillaged. And
it's like
also
picked over.
the motion of the ocean, scientific term, will have caused a lot of it to be covered in sediment and stuff. So you got to go deeper to where it's less likely things have been found and, you know, more undisturbed. And when you're smart and you've got the means, then you can just be like, this is the ship that I think we should try and recover.
Right.
This it is takes a shipwreck.
That expertise and tons of research to try to narrow it down. Because you're right. I mean, there's many, many shipwrecks that have yet to be recovered. Some that have been partially recovered, some completely recovered. And there always is a fight over who owns it. As we will see in this one, it doesn't matter how old it is. Somebody used to be owned by somebody who used to be owned by somebody who used to be owned by somebody. And they were the owner. And therefore, I'm the successor in interest. And where there's money involved, there's always a fight. Oh. Always
yes,
a fight.
There is. I got some opinions. And I'm excited. So what do we think?
This is like some opinions. It's a hybrid mini-sode / Judge Christie ruling I want to hear.
Oh, man. Well, then me and Judge Marbley are going to have to go gavel to gavel.
I always bet on your gavel.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Built in 1852, just 5 years before it sank, the coal-fired three-deck steamship called the SS Central America could reach speeds of about 11 knots. Its primary purpose was to carry passengers and vital cargo, including mail and gold, between Panama and New York City, serving as the second ship in a two-ship relay. One ship would take passengers from California to Panama. A railroad would take them across the isthmus. Then the SS Central America would take them from Panama to New York, the fastest cross-country route at the time.
That's the fastest.
That's the fastest.
Like 12 miles an hour on a boat made of steam that's being powered by steam.
Man, yeah. And I imagine it's not, you know, like a Carnival Cruise Line. The amenities aren't what we now know. Cruise, this isn't even a cruise ship. This is just a ship. But ships to be in general, they were a bit different back then.
No, for sure. And the Panama Canal, you know, that's what let the, you would only have to take one ship because you could pass through, but it did not exist yet. It was not dug until 1914. So you had to get off, unload all your shit, put all your shit on a railroad, go across, and then reload. It's exhausting.
I won't even change flights on it. You know, I mean, yeah, what a privilege that is. But back then, yeah, I mean, if you wanted to get from point A to point B, this was how you had to do it.
Yeah, I'd be like, not worth it.
Before sinking, the SS Central America completed 43 voyages between Panama and New York in 4 years. The California Gold Rush was in full swing at this time, and the SS Central America played a vital role carrying one-third of all gold shipped at that time from California to New York. In August of 1857, the SS Central America, affectionately referred to as the Ship of Gold, set sail with passengers and cargo on their way to New York. The ship left Panama and made a quick stop in Havana. It left Cuba for New York on September 3rd, 1857, carrying approximately 580 persons and at least $1.2 million in gold. And that was the value in 1857. So imagine what it would be now.
Yeah, it would be like $43 million now. Like it's about a 36 times multiplier. That's so much gold on a ship. How did you not get pirated?
I was thinking. Wouldn't you be afraid that at any second, like pirates were going to just storm the ship?
Yeah, it's wild to be like, that's the one that carries all the gold, by the way. It's like, stop telling everybody that. Shut up. Don't call it the ship of gold.
Or other passengers. I mean, you get enough passengers on there that have decided to do stuff amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. It didn't take much. You're out on the high seas where shit's wild anyways, and then you got all this gold. It seems, I'm no steamship captain or a scientist, but it seems like the two things should have been separate. You got maybe a gold ship and you got your people ship. But yeah, the two shouldn't mix.
Never the twain shall intersect. But they did have a $1.2 million of like bank gold, and plus passengers were carrying gold valuables and jewels and things like that on it as well. So it was even more money than that. It just wasn't, you know, it's just in their bags or whatever. They could be carrying whatever they want. So, yeah, putting like, hey, by the way, all the gold for all the banks, it's on this ship right here.
Yeah.
It'd be fucking terrible if we lost it. Anyway, see you at New York.
Bye-bye. After smooth sailing the first day, on the second day of cruising, they unknowingly headed directly into the mouth of a savage hurricane. A leak developed on board due to the raging storm, and soon water was rushing into the boat. The ship's vital boiler fires were extinguished, and the vessel continued to take on water. Valiant efforts by passengers to bail out the water failed, and the ship sunk.
It's never a good thing when the captain's like, grab a bucket and try your best, because it is coming up over the sides. You didn't have radar or anything. You couldn't really, aside from like, I feel a change in the wind, like you couldn't know that there was a huge hurricane directly in front of you.
No, you're kind of already in the eye of the storm once you realize what's going on. But like a good captain, he did go down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
The captain managed to hail a nearby ship, saving many passengers, including all but one of the women and children on board. Other passengers and crew survived in lifeboats or while treading water. In all, 153 persons were rescued, while approximately 427 lost their lives. Another thing that evaded rescue, the ship's cargo, consisting of hundreds of bags of mail and the $1.2 million of gold. The loss of that gold helped fuel the financial panic of 1857 and ensuing financial decline.
And like we said earlier, the human life loss, was it sunk heavier because of all this gold on board? Like, should you have bifurcated and had passengers on one and gold on the other? And then on top of that, having such a concentration of gold, you've now tanked the market. That's such a risk to have on one ship.
It's wild how something like this, which, you know, you can't foresee, would have such a ripple effect on the world. And then, you know, I mean, the California Gold Rush, like this is something that changed everything in history that I didn't even know about. But it's, you know, to think, oh, well, I don't know how money's transferred now, but the president and the vice president don't travel together because if shit goes down, like one of them's got to be around. So it's interesting that so much gold was in one place. I wonder now if they maybe break it up a bit more. Also, gold is fucking heavy.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Put it on a ship. As soon as you start taking on water, I don't care if you're bailing out water. They did say some of the wealthier passengers that did have like gold in their bags were just hucking them over the side to just try to help. And the captain said, you know, everybody get over to one side. Okay, now to offset the balance. Okay, now try to move over to the other side. I mean, they were all really trying, but that is a ton of weight to be carrying, not just physical weight, but you're right, weight on their shoulders. Of this was like the first large, widespread financial panic in the U.S. history. And you're right. I think it did probably change the distribution of gold, of we shouldn't just have it all in these massive shipments. Then you, because before that, I'm sure it was stagecoaches, which were getting robbed in the Wild West days. So you're like, oh, it's a ship. It's so much. Oh, shit. It goes to the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, put it on rail cars, or have like Fort Knox, you know, have these different U.S. banks in different states to sort of spread your eggs out of not all one basket.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Boxes were all filled with gifts, big and small. But sharing pure love is the greatest gift of all. Stay cozy, my people, and have a Boss year.
Get into the holiday spirit with Boss and our ultimate gifting edit. Visit your nearest store or explore our curated selection online at boss.com.
At the time, insurance companies paid claims out for all the monies lost. While the passengers and banks were made whole, the insurance companies suffered those losses and, in the eyes of the law, became the rightful owners of the gold at the bottom of the ocean. It was up to these companies to head down and dredge up the gold lying 8,000 feet below the surface, a mission that would have been impossible at the time in 1857. After several futile salvage efforts by contracted submarine companies failed, the ship and its gold were left in place. For over a century, the SS Central America and all its contents lay nearly 2 miles under the Atlantic Ocean, at the bottom of the seafloor. It wasn't until September 11, 1988, that 31-year-old scientist and explorer Thomas Tommy Thompson discovered something extraordinary. A Kenny Loggins lookalike with a dark beard, Thompson was working at BATTLE, a global research and development organization committed to science and technology for the greater good. After years of research and development, he had assembled a crew of around 20 to locate the underwater trove.
And that's just a whole area of investment you don't even realize exists, is I will put up funds or I'll put up my labor for free in exchange of a percentage of whatever we might find. And what an upside to be like, who knows what's on the seafloor.
I mean, it's the same we've seen with like the Oak Island treasure and not as much Forrest Fenn's treasure, but the Oak Island, I mean, they're all investors in it, and they've all got an agreement that if we find something, you know, we're splitting it. Unfortunately, those two brothers have yet to find anything like what these people found at the bottom of the ocean. But one thing that I thought, and no shade at, and I can't remember their names.
The Laginas, so the Laginas.
Yes. No shade at them, because they do bring out tons of machinery and experts and everything. But the research and science and years that Tommy and his partner at the time spent on tracking everything, like things you wouldn't even think of logistically, of how, what's the best way to approach this. And he said everyone else at the time, these treasure hunters, they'd like, kind of like the Laginas, you like get this idea and you're like, let's just dive in head
go
first.
There. Go there.
Yeah, you're just so excited to find it. He was like, nobody could find anything because it wasn't well planned or well thought out. And Tommy, from his early days, was like a tinkerer. He loved building things. Mm-hmm. He said he built this 4-engine lawnmower to mow, because mowing the lawn was his job, and it took him a while. And he's like, but then I mowed the lawn in 20 minutes. I'm like, good for you. Work smarter, not harder. Like, you figure it all out, and then you're like, boom. Now I only have to do 20 minutes to this when it was taking me hours.
Right? It's genius. It's like measure twice, cut once, but he measured for like 10 years and dived once. You know, it's like we're going to save so much money eventually when we go to dive if we just spend extra time, like you said, looking into things that other people haven't, have just been like, I don't know, it's probably here. It's like there's a way to find out exactly where.
Yeah. Thompson grew up in Defiance, Ohio, and later attended and graduated from The Ohio State University. A tinkerer and inventor from a young age, Tommy was known by friends as
the kind of guy who could fix a rocket ship with two paper clips and a piece of twine,
according to People magazine. Called a
brilliant scientist
by colleagues, Thompson developed the sonar technology that allowed the sunken ship to be found. Using the expedition vessel, the Arctic Discoverer, to deploy a rover called Nemo, the crew was able to locate the shipwreck 160 miles off the coast of South Carolina. A camera mounted to Nemo recorded the first images of the shipwreck, which Tommy described in his book, America's Lost Treasure.
The bottom was carpeted with gold. Gold everywhere, like a garden.
Man. Imagine coming upon that fucking scene. Dude, you're like, we're pretty confident it's here. But then that little rover turns the corner and just, it's like El Dorado. Like you just come upon this, or discovering Atlantis or something. You're just like, holy shit, it's really here.
It's right. You know, like where you've been digging and digging and, or like, at least in this case, you've been planning and planning and it all comes to fruition. And especially for him, you got a lot riding on your back. You have a lot of investors. There's a crew, but also your own personal, I mean, it's your mission in life to do, to find this, that you've now dedicated yourself from just a discovery scientist to becoming like a treasure hunting scientist. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of personal embarrassment on the line. And not only do you just find some, you find a garden of gold.
Dude, you find it all. Yeah, he took like 4 or 5 years off. He told his boss at Battle, like, I want to go find this. And they all knew how brilliant he was. I mean, he was studied at The Ohio State University, and his professors there were like, oh, he was the best student we've ever had. Like, you know, when what that must feel like to have a teacher say that about you. I promise you, no teacher I've ever had has ever been like, she was the best student I ever had.
All I ever wanted in my life was for teachers to say I was the best student. And I followed them into old age and befriended them. To make them say that. She's the only of my students that comes and volunteers at my school. I'm like, you're right, I do. I'm the best. The teacher's pet.
I had a chemistry teacher in high school tell me, I hope when God made the mold of you, he threw it away.
No, they didn't say that.
She was notoriously the meanest teacher at that school, and she hated me. Ooh, Mrs. Stovall.
Rest in peace.
She's dead now. First of all, she was like 100 years old when I had her. She had gone to that high school, graduated from the high school, which was built in like the 1920s or 1940s, and then taught chemistry at that high school. And she was notoriously like a very, very hard teacher. I failed her class. The year after I had her, sad to say, her mother passed away, and she was so grief-stricken that she just basically didn't teach her class, and everyone got A's that fucking year. God, missed it by 1 year. I mean, I'm sorry. Her mom died, and it was very sad.
Truly
that
sad.
Woman was, to this day, I was 15 when that, or probably like 17 when that happened, and I still remember it. How mean. And she said that's it so in mean. Class.
God, it wasn't even, well, I don't know if it's, yeah, if it's less horrifying, if it's like, well, I hope when they made the mold of you, they threw it out, and not like you're like, hey, thanks for a great year, Mrs. Stovall. And she's like, I hope they threw the mold out, like quietly just to you. And you're like, wait, what?
No, it was,
either way,
it was to me, but in front of the entire class.
Yeah, don't say that. And just so you know, Mrs. Stovall, they did break the mold. You're one of a kind, Christy Wallace.
Thank you. Also, joke's on you. I never used chemistry, so didn't need it anyways. Maybe that's why I don't cook, because I don't understand measurements. Upon the initial discovery, Thompson and his crew brought up 21 tons of gold bars and coins over the course of 4 months. Backed by over a dozen investors, Thompson made headlines with the find. Investors had signed non-disclosure agreements with Thompson, promising to keep his projects and ideas in confidence in exchange for a percentage of the net recovery of the Central America.
Which I thought was fascinating that that was important to him to keep it secret. It makes sense because if you want to use that and replicate it to go find other treasure somewhere else, you wouldn't want to just have somebody work this one, take all your ideas, and then beat you to the punch somewhere else. Yeah. But you have to exchange something for value to get a non-disclosure agreement to be effective. And if you don't have a bunch of money to give, you know, pay people a salary or pay them a consideration to make the non-disclosure legit, you have to just give away the future percentage interest.
His voyage is a success. Thompson was greeted by a crowd of hundreds cheering him on as he sailed into Norfolk, Virginia on October 4th, 1989. His joy, however, would be short-lived. That very same day, 39 insurance companies who had paid out claims to the original owners of the gold 130 years earlier sued the scientist in federal court, claiming the treasure belonged to them. Once claims were paid, the insurers argued they had become the gold's legal owners by operation of law. Thompson and his search operation company fired back. Thompson and his search operation company fired back and filed a petition in court asking to be declared the rightful owner of the gold. While that case was pending trial, some professors from Columbia University emerged from the woodwork, claiming an interest in the gold as well. They alleged that their research, a sort of digital treasure map, was used by Thompson and crew to locate the gold. After a 10-day trial featuring many witnesses and hundreds of pieces of evidence, Tommy and his company won. The court found the insurance companies had abandoned their claims 130 years prior by not searching for the gold. The court also found no merit in the professor's claims, so Tommy's search company was entitled to keep 100% of the gold. That decision was reversed on appeal because the trial court incorrectly applied the law of fines rather than the law of salvage to the case.
These are the finders keepers laws that we all, you always think as a kid, like, is it really finders keepers? And they changed in 1987. There's the Abandoned Shipwreck Act that if a shipwreck is within 3 miles off the coast of the U.S., and that would be considered in U.S. waters, then it belongs to the United States government. But since this was 160 miles off the coast, and that was a very new law at the time of his discovery, that's the question. Is it a really, are you finding something nobody knew was there? Or are you salvaging something that these companies knew that it was there? They just didn't have the ability at the time and to go and get it. And then the question becomes then, because the ability exists now, should they be paid for it? Because they could have gone and gotten it, but Tommy Thompson beat him to the punch.
I say, not my problem if you can't figure out how to get down there. And if I can, then I think I'm the one that deserves it. Unless you go to these insurers and say, all right, I have the means to get down there. If you want to give me like a percentage of the findings, I'll go down there and get this for you. I wonder, and I guess because of the amount, you kind of have to. But what if you just go down there and then you bring it up and you don't tell anybody?
I think the problem becomes, how do you offload $43 million worth of gold and not get caught? And then
the Caymans, duh. John Grisham told us that.
Oof. Well, this was the 80s. So, yeah, you probably could hide things off. After the Foreign Accounting Compliance and Tax Act or whatever it is that got passed about 10 years ago, you pretty much can't hide any money anywhere anymore except for in, like, Iran and North Korea and places where they will definitely not they might just keep your shit and you probably don't have any recourse.
Yeah. They'll hide it and also from you. That's from everybody, including you too.
Yeah. Good luck trying to get it back. But back then, yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you would have to – part of the value is you would have to say this is where it came from. You know, you're just like, it's a gold bar. My grandpa gave it to me. They're like, mm-hmm. Well, clearly it's from under the water. Clearly, I mean, you could try to play dumb, but doing it the way he did it, I think he – in my opinion, he's entitled to it. a percentage, 99% of it at least, because you're right. The insurance company's well aware that this was down there. And if Tommy Thompson could get it, he's not the only one with a rover. They could have funded an expedition or funded his expedition. So in my opinion, them holding, sitting on their hands, that's on you.
Yeah. You're basically like, oh, well, but that's ours. We didn't do anything to get it back. We were waiting for somebody else to do all the hard labor, but now we're going to claim it. And I don't think that's how it should work. I agree. If you know he has the means, then it's up to you to go to him and say, hey, we'll pay for you to go down there and get this and even give you some of it if you bring it back up. But if he just decides on his own to go do it, I don't think you get to ride the coattails.
Well, and that's a good point. And is, does the law of salvage, which is what eventually was applied in this case and what perhaps rightfully so, because you kind of do know, at least you have a successor and interest to know who the original owner was, but is it, how much of a percentage is he entitled to? And I would think a large part of it, again, because like you said, he's the one that funded it. He's the one that took initiative. He's the one that
developed
used his brain.
The technology to get it.
He developed
the technology. It took years and years to do this.
Yeah, why do you get to profit off of just literally sitting around on your right. tail? So that's a good point. I think the judge sort of agreed here. Maybe not to the same percentages as we wish, but.
And while before they even announced to the public, like, all right, we're bringing it all up, they had found like a couple of bars that they had taken back to the investors to say like, hey, look, it's really down there. Like, this mission
it's legit.
Is a go. Imagine how exciting that is.
Oh, yeah.
When they present it, you're like, oh, my God. We were just – it was a hope and a prayer. But now
– right.
We're about to be gazillionaires.
I think
and not
like-
just like – it's like you literally found a sunken treasure. Nobody yeah. can say that.
No, it's like a movie. Exactly. I always think about the people who invested in this and their significant other was like – I'm sorry, what did you invest in?
Yeah.
And you're like, he's a smart guy. Okay, he's got a rover. It's called Nemo. I'm sorry, it's called what? No. He's going to get it. I trust you, babe. Trust me. Trust
you're
me.
Like, Finding Nemo wasn't even a thing yet, okay? He's a visionary.
Different
they took
Nemo.
It from him. Yeah.
The original Whoa, Nemo.
What if they did take that?
Well, it's the original Nemo from whatever that famous book is that Nemo is in. And then, is it 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Oh, okay.
Nemo
yeah,
character
if I read
book.
More, I'd probably know that.
But anyway, so like, yeah, it's Captain Nemo. It's 20,000 Leagues Under
That's
the Sea.
That's right. I know who Captain Nemo is.
But anyhow, okay. But it's like, you know, you're like, babe, I promise it's going to pay off. It's like, yeah, right. And then it
it's
does.
Just like
and
me
you're like,
with GameStop and Tommy. Except
we took that loss.
Fortunately, we didn't get gold bars from that.
No, we're still holding on.
To the moon.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
At a second trial, Thompson's company won a 90% interest in the treasure since it performed the work to salvage the treasure. The professors still got nothing, and the court was left to determine whether the insurers were entitled to the remaining 10%. Thompson's company was ordered to sell all the gold and divide the proceeds among the investors accordingly.
And that's kind of the issue is you have this gold that was valued at $1.2 million and some change back in the day, but based on a ton of factors. It's not just, oh, it weighs this much, therefore it's worth this much. It could be types of castings that are more valuable to certain collectors and others. So it's hard for the court to even say, okay, this is 90% of this treasure now. You have to really sell it all, get receivers in, put it all in one big bucket. It's like the Murdoch case with the receivers where you're like, we got to get, what are we working with? And then we can divvy it out to the people who deserve it. Do we think that the insurers deserve 10 whole percents of something they did nothing to recover?
I am going to go out on a limb here and say, I think he should get all of it. Like, right? He funded the entire thing. He did all of it. It's not like it's an easy mission. It's there's some danger involved, you know, his own money, investors and everything. Like, I say to the victor goes the spoil. Like, if he found, it's been down there for fucking ever. If you couldn't figure out how to, and obviously you've done okay without it. This was a bazillion years ago. So like, the people that were the like insurers at the time aren't even alive anymore. It's just going to like a company that this person worked for.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a company that was incorporated in, you know, 1850 that then got bought out by something else, and now is owned by, you know, Mutual of Omaha or whatever. It's like Mutual of Omaha just deserves 10% because it bought some worthless insurance company from a million years ago with a going concern of a possible interest in a treasure. And that's the law of salvage in maritime law is how that if there's a vessel in peril, like this one, it's sunk, and someone goes out without being told or whatever to help, in this case, to salvage the stuff, and it is a successful salvage mission, they are entitled to a generous reward, and the court is to determine that reward based on how much damage did you do to the environment, how successful, how much did you put into it. So 90% is a big reward on a salvage case. I agree. I think it should be like 99.99%. You know, like, we'll pay your, not even your court costs. Like, you sued me now. I'm the one that got it, man.
Thompson claimed that he tried and failed a handful of times to sell the gold in the late 1990s, but his investors were growing nervous. His lawyer sent letters assuring them of pending sales, but no payments were ever made. In 2005, a group of investors sued Thompson and several of his business entities in federal court in Ohio, claiming they had paid him $12.7 million and demanding monetary relief for breach of their NDAs, conversion of the recovered gold, and breach of fiduciary duty.
That's a good point. They could just rat all the elements of what it took him to find that treasure. Although by 2005, is the proprietary information that you utilize in 1998 valuable anymore, or has technology gone so far beyond that Tommy Thompson's like, yeah, I'm not giving you a percentage because go ahead and tell how I found it. It doesn't matter. That's 80s technology. Like, they're using submersibles now. Like, who cares?
Good point. I'm surprised, and maybe this is naive, that it would be hard to sell this. Like, I but don't also, think- who are you trying to sell it to? Is he? At one point, he did sell like $52 million of it worth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are people out there that are buying it. Maybe he's selling it and he's just not telling people.
That's what they allege. That's the conversion of the recovered gold is conversion means stealing. Like, I'm suing you civilly because I think you stole from me. You converted property that I had an ownership into 100% ownership of yourself. You just converted my gold, so I want it back. And that's pretty much what they were alleging. Like, these letters are bullshit. Like, I don't know if the lawyer was just being told by Thompson and, you know, not in on it and just said, hey, buddy, the investors are getting pissed. Like, how's the sales going? And he's like, oh, man, I've been trying, but it's rough. And the lawyer's just like, okay, well, my client says he's been trying, but it's rough. And then you're not knowingly perpetuating
fraud. Or he slides a gold bar across the table every time the lawyer asks him about it. And he's like, it's like, don't say a word.
Here's a gold coin, and it's not chocolate inside.
The cases went through pretrial motions until 2011, when Thompson was ordered to reveal the location of 500 gold coins. They were valued at around $2.1 million and were simply gone. An appeals court in 2013 noted,
the vast wealth representing the ship's golden cargo is as lost today as it was before September 1988. Yeah, no, I think he stole it all.
I think he had it. I mean, he eventually admitted to an offshore account in Belize. I'm sure there were other offshore accounts. Yeah. Perhaps he buried some of it or gave it to trustworthy people to hold. You know, who's to say? But 500 gold coins, That's like a whole pirate's chest worth of gold coins.
It's a lot, but also if you separate it and put it into different safe deposit boxes at banks across the country, you know, they wouldn't know. Banks mm-hmm. don't ask you like, hey, what's in this box? You know, you could hide it and then, you know, have the keys and give those out to people or whatever. There's a lot of ways to hide the stuff. The thing, though, with gold is that you do have to sell it to get the value out of it mm-hmm. unless you put it in trust with somebody or some entity that lets you kind of draw on it and they hold it as whatever credit, you know, essentially like mm-hmm. it would be a secured line of credit. But still, yeah, I think there would be some type of record of that. And for what the court has asked him to prove and what he has failed to prove is that it's anywhere. Like it's just nowhere. It's like poof.
Or you figure out how to time travel and you go back to an era where gold was the form of currency. And then you just, I mean, you buy the whole planet at that point, I think.
Yeah, you show up at a time traveler's office, just, hey, I need to use it. I need to use the machine.
His financial troubles mounting, Thompson moved into a Florida mansion, used an alias for his bills, and paid his rent with moldy $100 bills, according to Columbus Monthly. In 2012, federal judge Edmund Sargas ordered Thompson to appear in court to disclose the whereabouts of the 500 coins minted from the ship's gold. Rather than appear in court, Thompson disappeared.
Oftentimes you see people buying real estate in Florida because it has one of the strongest bankruptcy protection laws as far as taking the homestead and the amount allowable for a homestead. And so I think it was like O.J. Simpson. Oftentimes you see people who are facing Donald Trump, who might be facing like massive civil lawsuits, purchasing primary residences for a lot of money in Florida because of those protective statutes. Also, he probably likes the ocean, so he probably just likes the beach.
Yeah, he's you know, moldy $100 bills. Is it? It's not because it came from the ocean, right?
No.
There wasn't any bills down there. They were just moldy on their own?
No, I guess so. And to be fair, he was paying rent. So maybe that was not why he was doing that. He probably just moved to Florida because that's what he liked it. And, you know, in Florida where the dollar bills grow mold.
What if he was stashing his $100 bills along with some of the gold from under the sea? And, you know, like salt water and salt and stuff from the gold, like made the money moldy.
Dang, that's a good point of like, why would the dollar bills be moldy unless mm-hmm. he keeps them in between his ass cheeks or something?
He keeps them in his cheese drawer. Like all of us.
That's what I call my asshole too, the cheese drawer. Get a cracker and digging in the old cheese drawer.
Nearly 3 years later, the fugitive treasure hunter was found. A tip from the U.S. Marshal's office in Columbus, Ohio, led to the arrest of Thompson and his girlfriend/assistant, Allison Antkier. The pair had been living at a hotel in Boca Raton, Florida. A senior inspector with the U.S. Marshal's office commented on the arrest in an interview with People magazine, saying,
"He must have used every trick in the book to stay missing. It must have taken some bucks. Where did that money come from?"
Found amongst the couple's possessions was a book called How to Be Invisible that gave tips on successfully evading law enforcement.
"I wasn't on the run. What about this book called Fugitives for Dummies? Pay no attention to that."
Don't mind that. Also, the girlfriend/assistant, when she was brought in too, she said, "Yeah, I knew he was wanted."
Yeah,
so how could you not? You're she's like why? He's like,
"It's his assistant."
She's like, "Hey, DoorDash is here. We need to pay him." And he just hands her some doubloons. You're like, "I don't know what to do with these. What is all this gold?"
He asked me to go on a road trip with him, but instead of handing me a map, it was a pamphlet called "So You're on the Run from the Law." I read the whole pamphlet, and anyway, we've been in Florida for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. In April of 2015, Thompson pleaded guilty to a charge of failure to appear. In addition to a $250,000 fine, Thompson was sentenced to 2 years in prison. However, before he was to begin serving his sentence, he was required to reveal the location of the 500 gold coins at issue in the case. Thompson refused. In December of 2015, Judge Algernon Marbley found Thompson in contempt of court. The judge ordered him to stay in jail until he revealed the location of the coins and ordered that until he did, Thompson would accrue a daily fine of $1,000 per day. Not one to mince words, Judge Marbley told the court that Thompson's future lie in his own hands, saying,
"Once he comes to terms with the importance of truth in this case, then that will be the key that will indeed unlock his door." Yeah, if you get 2 years and a $250,000 fine on failure to appear, you have pissed off a federal judge. That is significant to be. I mean, you're gone that long, so.
The 500 coins is one thing, but there's still a ton of other treasure that has yet to be accounted for, but they seem to be just hung up on this 500 coins.
I think because that is what he had in his personal possession and didn't turn over. And the rest of it was, some of it was still on the seafloor and some of it had been sold. And so it's kind of in three buckets and he has control over a big bucket of it. And I don't know if it's like his fuck you bucket where he's like, you can have whatever's at the bottom of the floor, but these 500 coins I dug up myself and right? I don't give a shit about the law of salvage and I don't give a shit about these investors. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that is how I am taking his behavior here because like you're right, those are like easier to transport. It's not like it's huge, you know, bars or whatever. Like, he's like a rail car to drag him around. He could keep him in a Scrooge McDuck kind of basement situation.
Yeah. A big old chest.
True. Big old chest. But yeah, so he's, I mean, a contempt can last kind of indefinitely, usually not, but that is a dangerous game to just go, I'm not saying anything. And judge is like, I'll leave you in jail until you say something. And it's just whoever blinks.
It's a stalemate.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
In 2019, Thompson appealed his contempt charge, arguing it was a violation of his rights to be held in jail indefinitely. Federal law generally limits jail time for contempt of court to 18 months, but an appeals court held his ongoing sentence was lawful, as Thompson's refusal to turn over the information amounted to a violation of his plea agreement.
Yeah, the appeals court was very much like, it's actually a technicality, and you can stay in jail much longer than 18 months because he hasn't started. It's not like he's on contempt for nothing. He's on contempt for violating this plea agreement. And so it's a weird, it's like a loophole. Kind of, I don't want to say a loophole. It's more of like a crack. Like it wasn't contemplated that a term of a plea agreement could be the exchange of information, the failure of which to do so then leaves you in contempt. Because if so, they could have written that into the statute. But as is, that he's kind of like found himself in a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, he's in contempt. So his actual sentence hasn't even started.
Mm-mm.
But his sentence can't start. And therefore, he can't finish it and get out until he gives up this information. So it really is like he's just playing chicken with the judge.
He really is. And
chicken,
it's like
with the judge. A children's book that I will be writing.
Playing chicken with the judge. You know what? Spoiler alert. Federal judges, they have lifetime appointments and they almost always win.
They're always going to win.
Especially when they have the appeals court going, nah, he's cool. Let Marbley do it. Whatever he wants.
Damn. Thompson appeared in court in October of 2020, 5 years into his stay. He asked to be released due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but Judge Marbley refused. During that hearing, the judge asked,
"Are you ready to answer the seminal question in this case as to the whereabouts of the gold?"
Thompson replied,
"Your Honor, I don't know if we've gone over this road before or not, but I don't know the whereabouts of the gold. I feel like I don't have the keys to my freedom."
It's interesting that he says, "I don't know if we've gone down this road before or not," because I imagine you would remember if you've gone down this road.
Yeah. I mean, 5 years in jail, it's like, I don't remember how many times I've been in court. I think you would, though, probably. But
and also probably if you've told the judge, like, "I don't know where this is." I mean, if every time you've gone to court or every time your lawyer has come to you like, "Buddy, they're not going to give up." And you say, "I don't know where it is." And you're adamant about that. I think that, you know, would have been noted somewhere along the way. But it seems like he's just kind of throwing that out there. I think he's got the keys to his freedom, but he's not willing to pay the price.
No, and his problem was initially when the judge said, "Okay, before you can serve your sentence, go ahead and tell us where the coins were." And he didn't say, "I don't know the whereabouts." He went, "I'm not telling you."
Yeah.
And that's two different things. And so now it's like you have a judge being like, it's like your kid tells you like, "No, I don't have a frog in my pocket." And it's like you came up and said, "Do you want to see this frog in my pocket?" And now you're saying you don't have one. It's like, "But I don't have one." It's like, all right. Yeah. Now I don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
And for him, I would believe, how did he pay for that house? Where did those $100 bills come? All that stuff. It's probably, if he doesn't know where it is, he probably means because I sold it already and took the cash and spent it. So I don't know where the coins are, which would be a true statement.
That would be true. Yeah. By September 2022, Thompson had languished in jail for 7 years. At a hearing that month, Judge Marbley expressed concerns about the duration of Thompson's incarceration. However, Thompson refused to disclose the coin's location and therefore remained in jail. Months later, in April 2023, Thompson appeared in a virtual hearing where he still wasn't giving up the goods. Federal prosecutor Peter Glenn Applegate asked the beleaguered, now 71-year-old Thompson,
"I'm asking you whether you are willing to take any steps at all, whether you believe them to be effective or not, to assist with the recovery of assets."
Thompson offered a simple answer.
"No."
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. I mean, at least the judge is like, "Hey, that guy's still in here." You know, you look at your docket and you're like, "Oh, God, Tommy Thompson. I hadn't forgot about that. Shit. It's getting up on 7 years now."
Yeah.
Like, what
and
are we going to do?
He's no spring chicken either. Oh. And he claims he has chronic fatigue syndrome and that, you know, between the pandemic and just life in jail in general, he's not doing well.
Yeah, I'm sure you get chronic fatigue syndrome being in federal jail. You're fucking tired of being there and you want to go home.
Yeah.
But that's the draw of the gold, baby.
Mm-hmm. Weeks later, that same federal prosecutor suggested lifting the contempt order and enforcing Thompson's 2-year criminal sentence. In Glenn Applegate's view, it has become apparent that further incarceration will not likely coerce Thompson into compliance. He told the court,
"I want to be clear, it's not because Thompson is unable. Just if he's been unwilling this long, he may be unwilling forever."
And that's a good point.
It's a good
point. It's a drain on the tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
He's not getting any younger. It's not like he's a criminal in the sense of violence, you know, and he's still going to have to serve 2 years.
Yes, yes.
So it's not even getting right out, but it's like, come on. At some point, like, this is kind of a pissing contest, and let's just call it what it is. He's done enough time for keeping his secret. So now let's just, like, let it all play out and be done with it.
Yeah, that's a good point, because on the one hand, you don't want to drain the resources of the taxpayers and have a prisoner when that spot can be, you know, a very violent or some much worse financial criminal. But on the other hand, do you want to set a precedent that if you can just last longer than the judge, you can get out?
That's a good point, too. His attorney, the one he has now, I mean, even said, because there are people in jail, in that jail, that are there for, like, heinous crimes.
Yeah, he's in a federal
He told the judge, quote, "It is out of whack that my client is in here along with these people." And it's like, it's unnecessary. And to your point, you're taking up a cell that, like, like a murderer that might
a terrorist. This, yeah.
Yeah. Like that's what we need to be focusing on, not the guy that rescued. It's not like they were drowning.
He saved those coins.
He saved those coins and gave them a better life. But you know, I mean, it's, I don't know. It seems, is it a crime? Maybe. I mean, on the books, I suppose so. But is it a crime that warrants this kind of punishment?
Or is it so? Or do you say, okay, it is unreasonable for the court to leave somebody in contempt and then we'll just charge him with something later? You know, if we find out he was hiding the coins or something, then you really are getting punished for the real thing, which is hiding the coins and not just not talking to the judge.
I mean, you could always let him out or have him start his criminal sentence and then just fine him a ton instead of, you know, I mean, instead of having like the contempt be, well, you're going to serve time, have it be a huge payout. And then you might find out where those 500 coins are when he's got to pay you this big fine after he gets out.
That's a good point, because I do not believe that federal judicial fine, you know, the, I don't think you can discharge things like a federal fine in bankruptcy. It's not like you get fined $250,000 by the government and be like, oh, whatever, I'll just discharge it in bankruptcy. They're like, nope, you can discharge everything else except that and student loans. Good luck.
God. Columbus Monthly reported that Judge Marbley would make a ruling summer of 2023 as to whether Thompson will be released from his contempt charges, but that has yet to happen. Marbley said at the time,
if I had the ability to purge him of the contempt, I would do so, because I derive nothing from having Mr. Thompson incarcerated.
Even if Marbley rules in his favor, Thompson will still have to serve time for his criminal conviction. According to the Bureau of Prisons records, Thompson is currently housed in a federal detention center in Milan, Michigan, with a current release date listed as
unknown.
Well, I would argue that Marbley is getting something. He's deriving something from this. And that's probably the feeling that you're winning.
Yeah, I respect. You know, you will tell me or I will not let you out. But it's interesting that he says, if I have the ability to purge him of the contempt. I think, honestly, probably the concern is setting a precedent that as long as you can outlast a federal judge, then they'll just let you out of the terms of your contempt. And especially, he's violating his guilty plea deal. So then do you go, okay, well, the plea's off the table, so now instead of 2 years, we're going to get, you know, 5 years because you violated the terms of your plea agreement, which included telling us where these coins are.
I think you could do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be a reasonable solution, is you take that off the table and just tack on some years to a sentence, if that's what you feel moves it along, if you're unwilling to just be like, all right. And I think it could be a case-by-case situation. Like, if you're worried about it setting a precedence, holding out information like, where did you bury all the bodies, is different than, like, where are these 500 gold coins?
This percentage of the money. Yeah. Sinister Hood will be right back.
Moro Casino. Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
In 2014, a Florida-based company called Odyssey Marine Exploration made the first attempt since Thompson's to revisit the shipwreck. The team recovered millions of dollars worth of coins and silver and gold bars. The mission was overseen by a court-appointed receiver over two of Thompson's companies. Last January, an ingot recovered from this mission, weighing in at 866.19 ounces, was sold at auction for an impressive $2.16 million.
It's a big old nugget.
In April of 2023, the development of a three-part Nat Geo docuseries that will take a deep dive into this fascinating tale was announced. Partnering with the BBC, the series will include over 600 hours of archive footage, including exclusive videos never before seen. May of 2024 will see the release of a 20th anniversary edition of Gary Kinder's Ship of Gold in the Deep Blue Sea. Another reminder that Thompson's story is still as captivating today as it was 34 years ago. So what do we think?
I mean, it really does set a wild precedent that he's been in jail on a contempt charge for 7 years. And it's just, that's the word for it. It's unprecedented. And so I think it will, this is going to go, it's one for the books because of the historical, the 1857 panic connection, and then how cutting edge he was in finding it in the 80s. And then this man's just a trailblazer. He's just been blazing trails, some more productive and positive than others.
But he's also, he's like, I'm not going to back down. Nah. I'm not going to budge. I will literally die on this hill, and the hill is in the federal prison. Yeah. And that might be what happens.
Isn't that wild, though, to think you've traded that many years of your freedom for money? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Because you traded, you had to go on the run for 3 years. You know, you were living in, like, I'm lying to people, in theory, if he really was not really trying to sell the gold and was using it. And then now you're literally incarcerated in an out-of-whack situation with people that are, you know, way more dangerous than you ever could be, and all for nothing else but money that you can't even spend.
Well, I think you might be onto something with it's already been spent.
Yeah.
And therefore, he can't give it up. And if he did say, like, what happened with it, perhaps that would implicate others that are dangerous or, you know, I mean, who knows who you're dealing with when you're selling a bunch of, like, illegal gold.
That's a good point. You know, if he's, and honestly, he may have, in offloading those coins while he was on the run, he may have, I mean, he would not. If he sold the coins, you have to pay, I'm sure, some type of income tax on it. I don't know how that all works. So you probably have those issues. If you sold it to people you weren't supposed to sell stuff to, like you said, you might have some sort of like federal smuggling issue. So I wonder if his concern is he knows or believes he possibly violated some federal laws and also committed, you know, just straight up, that's theft. You know, it's conversion. Mm-hmm. This is all held in a receivership like Alec Murdoch style. So if he thinks, oh, well, telling them what really happened to the money, I'm going to have to go back to jail. You know, I would go to jail. So maybe he's just hoping he can ride the wave of silence, do his 2 years, and then get out. But it's like, at this point, you've already done 7 years. I don't think they would say, oh, okay, well, you know where the gold is, and now you're telling us, okay, time served, you can go. I think they'd be pissed that they're like, you've continued to waste the court's resources. And that's the thing is, when he got 2 full years for just a failure to appear, that's a really pissed off judge because you ran away. And so you're not going to see leniency. You've now burned any amount of leniency you ever could have gotten by telling him, listen, all right, I'll level with you. I sold them, okay? And I blew all the money on moldy dollar, $100 bills and DoorDash. Like, she can tell you. That's the thing is, wouldn't she know? Is she not going to, the girlfriend / assistant? I wonder if she'd come forward.
I don't know how much you're going to tell, true, you know, somebody like that. My other thought was he gave some to family or maybe something, and he doesn't want to implicate them because we were just talking about this at Christmas with my family about how if you steal something from someone, like technically you're supposed to claim that on your taxes.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
So if he gives 100 gold coins to his dad and he's like, keep this a secret or whatever, this is like your retirement fund. Well, if now he has to be like, okay, well, 100 of it went to my dad, 100 went to my mom. who they probably are no longer living given his age. Mm-hmm. But if they are, then like now they get drug into court and now they're on the hook also for probably a lot of financial stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point that you don't know how much he may have accidentally implicated people he loved, which would also be like, I would rather me sit in jail mm-hmm. with the possibility of getting out, you know, because of contempt. And I wonder, too, if his, you know, initially when he got held in contempt, his lawyer's like, oh, they can't really hold you more than 18 months. And then not realizing that the Court of Appeals would go, I don't know, I feel like it kind of falls under this exception. And you're like, mm-hmm. wait, what? And then 7 years have gone by. And the pandemic, he had to ride the pandemic out mm-hmm. in prisons. And incarcerated individuals were some of the hardest hit by the pandemic. I mean, it would just spread like wildfire. Oh, it's a wonder he didn't, you know, I don't know if he got COVID or not, but that he's doing all right. You know, it mm-hmm. didn't have any like major damage or take him out because of how bad it was. But we'll see if he gets out. The judge still hasn't ruled. The last articles about this were about in the summer. So
April,
we'll
see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to your point of is it worth it to sit in jail for this long? My hot take here is I don't think he should be in jail. I don't mm-hmm. I get the you know, on paper and everything. But the amount of time that has passed, if we have statutory limitations for things like rape and murder, how is gold sitting at the bottom of the ocean any more important than those things that involve like actual human lives? But because this is money, we're all prepared to die waiting for it or to before we change our opinion. And I think that's speaks to how powerful gold was then and how powerful money still is now is like, that is more important than human life to our justice system and perhaps Tommy Thompson as well. But if he, you know, if he's just in there because he's like, I'm not giving it up and it's just become a point of pride at this point, I don't know. I mean, is it worth it? If he gets out, he's still going to have to serve and then like, he might have just kind of become accustomed to his time in jail. And he's like, well, if I get out, I'm not going to have any money. I'm already in my 70s. Everyone I know's died. You know, I mean, who mm-hmm. knows? But I think that it's been a drain on the taxpayers' dollars. I do think he should definitely have to pay back the investors that helped him find the treasure. But as far as the insurers that 130 years ago, you know, insured this money, I don't know. Like,
they're all right.
Are we really gonna split hairs about that? It just seems unnecessary, but it's money and it's gold. So
that's a good point.
People are gonna do what they want.
You make a good point. And while murder does not have a statute of limitations, many places rape does, which I don't think it should at all. But I think you're right that when it comes to the exchange of money like this, where it's not like, oh my gosh, you know, Jen Shaw scammed a bunch of elderly folks or whatever. You know, it's like it was sitting on the bottom of the floor and it was really mm-hmm. owned by like all these rich companies that have been totally solvent and fine. You're right. It's more of a civil thing. Like, why wouldn't he just do the 2 years for failure to appear? And then all of the investors can sue him and conduct discovery and look through all of his, you know, financial records and all that good stuff. And then again, it report to the FBI or whatever and go, listen, I think he's hiding this money. And maybe he's committing wire fraud because he's making pleading saying, I don't have this money. Meanwhile, you know, he's wiring it between these bank accounts or whatever. So you're right. I think it's the being in jail for this is ridiculous, given that it really is actually a civil issue. Mm-hmm. Like the criminal issue was 2 years for failure to appear. Absolutely. He deserves to go to jail for 2 years because he ran away from going to see the judge. But you're right, like serving 7 years because somebody is losing a financial interest. We don't usually do that in this country.
There's no harm. He didn't harm a person physically.
Yeah. I mean, the only quote unquote harm is that the investors are failing to get the benefit of their bargain. But that's a breach of contract. That's perfectly mm-hmm. That was perfectly addressed in the conversion, breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty claims. That would be handled civilly. So you're right. I think here you're seeing there's some, while it is criminal to fail to appear, and I get it, and you should pay $250,000 and spend 2 years, a federal judge holding someone in jail for what amounts to a civil dispute it sits wrong, right? That's why I feel like it sits wrong for all of us, where we're like, this guy, come on, he's not hurting anybody. And it's like, oh, well, he hurt these investors. It's like, that's fine. They can deal with that in the courts. He didn't rob the investors. Maybe if he did, they can file a complaint, but he doesn't deserve to go to jail by proxy because of what it amounts to, a civil dispute. I totally agree. That's why it feels weird. Poor guy. You know, I hope they let him out. And then I say poor guy. I think he stole his money from a lot of people. But that, I think it, that doesn't mean we think he should be, you know, any of us should think, okay, he gets to be punished indefinitely.
No, 7 years in a federal jail. God damn. I think he's probably done plenty, more than he ever needed to do for this. I will be very interested in this docuseries to see actual footage of this garden of gold on the ocean floor. Mm-hmm. That's going to be very cool.
Yeah, 600 hours of archive footage. This sounds right up our alley. We love under the sea, you know, weirdos diving down and looking for shit on the bottom of the sea. This is very in our wheelhouse.
You think Victor tried to go down there?
Victor Vescovo is going to be the one.
Here's the thing. At least one other company's gone down there. I don't know what all is still down there.
Yeah,
gold wise.
They may be still, 2014, they may have dredged it all up by now. But I will say, 8,000 feet is just small potatoes for Victor Vescovo, who's been to the deepest point of all five.
He does that on just a Monday.
Just to take a dip.
It's just a regular day, He's just going to take a dip down there.
The best part of just talking about Victor Vescovo all the time is that he's not famous to anyone but us. We talk about him all the time. But I'll be interested to watch that. And you know what? Free Tommy Thompson. Let him go. I mean, free him Tommy to turn Thompson. Around and serve his 2 years.
I don't know, man. I think you could just say he served it. Yeah. I give him time served. 7 years.
It does sound like
that seems excessive.
The federal prosecutor is just kind of like, he's not. Like, let's just shut it down. I want this case off my docket. Like, please.
Please. He's going to die in there before anything ever. And then, you're still not going to know where the coins are.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. You know?
The secret will die with him.
It will. It will. Well, thank you all so much for supporting our Patreon. We really, literally could not do this without you. Make sure you request to join the Facebook group if you haven't already. Subscribe to our Discord server and go to the pinned post on the Patreon page to find the link for both of these and lots of other helpful info. As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Sinister.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.